Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Awaken Talk Radio. This is Jenna Devon Beck.
And I'm Crystalline Randolphi, and it's time to rise and shine. Hi, everyone. We've got a pretty exciting topic to discuss today. Well, actually, I'm going to be honest. I don't know that it's particularly exciting, but I know that it's important and it's very relevant. We're talking about honoring our bodies as a temple, and really what we're going to be discussing is how to let our bodies be in peak shape, to let our bodies be as healthy as they want to be, as fit as they can possibly be. So we have an expert with us, fitness and nutrition coach Pat Barone, and we're going to be discussing ways to have, you know, permanent weight loss, ways to get our bodies to where they want to be and how to keep it there. And I think what we're going to have to do to have this discussion is move through some of what blocks us from living in those best bodies that we have the potential to live in. So whether you're too skinny, too heavy, or even if you're just right, tune in today and join us with Pat Barone to discuss how we can honor our body as a temple and really enjoy existing within these containers.
Absolutely. And if you, you know, we all know that you have your personal stories and struggles with weight loss or food or exercise. Please feel free to call in and be a part of the conversation and share them with us. And the guest call-in number is 347-945-6373. That's 347-945-6373.
And you know, Jen, I'm going to be honest. Oh, okay,
yeah,
go on.
Oh, no, you go first.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm going to be honest. I had just said to you before the show, this one's a challenge for me because, you know, I've heard it said that 30% of Americans are morbidly obese. And that means, you know, I think that's 100 pounds or more overweight. 60%
right.
of Americans are obese, which is more than 35 pounds of extra weight on their body. And the truth is, I'm in that 10%. I'm in that 10% where, you know, if my life is in flow and it, for me, it's very emotional, my weight and the way my
yeah.
body is. So if things are in flow and things are going good, I have a really nice, solid, fit body. You know, and my problem, and I'm going to throw it out there because I don't get a lot of sympathy considering 90% of people are overweight, is my problem at times, which is the same exact problem, just the polar opposite, is I get too skinny. When
yeah.
I get upset, when my emotions are, you know, out of whack, I lose weight and I get too skinny. So one way or the other, it's not, you know, it's a problem. Too much, too little is a problem.
Should we bring Pat on? I think we really love yes. to hear what she has to say. All right. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
How are you?
So glad to have you with us. Great, Pat. It really is an important topic, isn't it?
It really
something
is.
That I think pretty much most any human being can identify with this topic.
It's true. It's one that goes across the board. It doesn't matter what your background might be or your economic status or even your sex. A lot of men struggle with these things just as well as women do. And so it's something that goes to everybody. We walk around in our bodies, you know, for our entire lives. It's really our only home, and yet we often don't recognize that. You can't do anything in life. Your spirit can't achieve what it's here to achieve without your body. That's the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so incredibly important. And yet we have become, in our society in particular, sort of big brain, and we operate from the neck up and try to mentally bully our way through problems and issues and bully our way through life, really, on a mental plane. And we completely ignore the body in so many situations and in so many circumstances. So there's a wealth of information and intelligence in our bodies that we just aren't taking advantage of. We're not in touch with. And it happens if you're too thin. It happens if you're overweight. It happens even if you're a normal weight and you're not connected to your body.
True.
It can happen to anybody. I did want to say one thing, just in terms of a little bit of a correction. 60% of Americans are overweight.
Okay.
But that also includes the morbidly obese.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's not 90% of Americans.
So you've got 40% that are at a normal weight or too thin. But
okay.
It's not quite as grim as 90%.
Ah. Very good. But yeah, it's like I really wonder what is happening to us. And you gave a great explanation. We're big brains. We live in our heads. We live from the neck up. So let's start the conversation. I'd love to look for solutions. What are some of the solutions to this to bring us back into our bodies so that we can restore our bodies to the form that they can be? So we can access the potential of our bodies. What are some of the solutions, Pat?
Yeah, I think getting in touch with the body is a very important journey. And it's harder for some people than it is for others. Some people avoid things like exercise because it does get you in your body. And you can see that maybe the more out of shape you are, maybe you are less inclined to go dancing or to be physical or to exercise. And then that just gets you a little bit further away from that connection. So there's lots of different ways to connect back to your body. Things like exercise, movement, just awareness. You know, awareness is a huge thing. So much of the time we're unconscious about our bodies. We aren't conscious at all of how our knees are feeling or where are our feet right now. You know, we're totally, again, living in our heads. And so there's lots of different routes that you can take to be more mindful, to be more in your body, to make that connection. But I do believe at the core of all of us is a great deal of intelligence about what weight we should be, what's a natural weight for ourselves, what our bodies should look like and how they're shaped. And there's just a lot of information there. There's lots of ways to connect. And even something like meditation can connect you to your body, yoga and awareness-type exercises. Sometimes we get shifted into our bodies in times of trauma. Have you ever had that happen, when maybe you weren't aware of your body and all of a sudden a bus comes by really close and you kind of get shocked back into your body?
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of something that happens very rapidly. But all of a sudden, within 2 seconds, you're back in your body and you're feeling every single cell in your body. You're super aware of what you're feeling. So there's lots of different pathways. I think knowing there's a place to connect and then making that effort is very important. Of course, what do we need to make that effort? We need to make the time and space for it.
Pat, what you're saying right here, I think this is the absolute start. Becoming aware, becoming present within our bodies. Are there some exercises? Like right as you did that, I saw, you know, a simple little exercise to just take a moment and be and breathe and feel into the body. Is this the type of work you do with your clients?
Yes, it is. I do a number of weekend seminars where we really get intensely aware of our bodies. We do visualizations around them. We do a lot of breathing exercises. I have a CD that's going to be coming out pretty soon that's a recorded guided visualization that takes you into the core of your body so that you start to access that intelligence. You know, you could have three people standing in front of you, and they could all be 5'7". They could all be female. They could all be 35 years old, but each one of them is going to have a different natural weight. And that's because they have unique genetic setup, and they also have unique, you know, shape and structure to their bodies. So what I really do emphasize with my clients is finding that natural weight for yourself. When you find that weight, it's not hard to keep it. What I find a lot of people do is they try to go too far. They want to be very, very thin, and maybe their natural weight is a little bit higher. Find a weight that's comfortable for you, that's easy to maintain, and that you don't feel you're suffering in order to maintain for yourself. That's what I usually help my clients find.
Yeah, that's why I keep bringing up about allowing our bodies to maximize their own potential, because each body has the potential for its own best body. Yet I'm very aware of that, and I hope everyone can really lock that into their brain.
Mm-hmm.
My best is not your best.
Right.
Your best is not my best. And what the key factor is to like optimal health within the body is whatever is the perfect weight for you. Mm-hmm. Whatever is the weight, shape, size you're going to be when your muscles are toned and you have only the amount of fat you need, that's the healthy ratio and stuff, when your body is fit, what's going to be your best fitness. I think this is a huge part of what stops people before they even start. When you're, you know, a size 14, and because of the media and these pressures you feel that optimally you're supposed to be a size 6 and look a certain way, and you know it's not possible based on your body type. That's this. I think this is why many people don't even get started on a fitness, nutrition, you know, whatever that might be, regimen.
Right, because the biggest thing that gets in the way of weight loss is perfectionism or procrastination. They're the same thing, actually. People will procrastinate because they have an idea of perfection, and deep inside they sense they can't be that or get there. And it may be true, it may not be true, but that's what causes the procrastination to start. Oh, I'm not going to look like a supermodel. Why bother?
Right.
Not
or
perfectly for 3 years. Why bother?
And I think people get really frustrated, too, when they don't see results right away.
Yeah.
They get really frustrated. But one of the things that I know I do personally and is great for me, and I haven't personally been on a scale since I was 16 years old.
Good for you.
I know what I like when I look in the mirror. I know when I'm at my best, and I know how my clothes fit me.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I know that there are people that I've talked to who say that they see themselves in the mirror and they didn't see that they gained the weight. But certainly their clothes fit differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know if your pants are tighter.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that when I was a teenager, I would get really depressed when I'd get on the scale. And my mother took it away, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me in terms of my body image, because I don't measure myself by what the number says.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And clothes are a good indicator. And I have clients who just simply keep the same pair of jeans. And it might have been, it may have been from when they were 16 or 18 or whatever. But, you know, they try it on once in a while because it's the same clothing.
Right.
It's a good measurement for them. If they start to feel a little bit different in their body, they'll try them on. They might fit, they might not, but it's just an indicator for them.
I know what works for me is I've given up, how do I say it? I guess it's like what we're talking about. Like whatever, one is acceptance. No matter how much weight I gain or lose, I do not gain weight on my upper body. Like I was put on a thyroid medication once, and I literally gained, I started at one size, and I gained a size a week for about 8 weeks, and then I stopped taking the medication because that's like ridiculous. That's not normal to keep gaining weight to that point. So I was once for a few months at a weight that was like 30 pounds heavier than I am now, and it was all in my butt and my thighs. That was it. It was funny, really. I remember walking down the street and somebody saying, hey, you smuggling basketballs under that skirt? Looked like my butt was two big basketballs. But my upper body is still going to be little, you know, little string bean arms and little flat chest.
Wow,
so it's like
some
things are, yeah, it's accepting what it's going to be. So I've let go of what I think my body should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And for me today, it's really about feeling strong and solid, centered, grounded. I want to live without aches. As I started to tune into my body, and I'm sure this was a reflection of stress, and because I want to stay with this body awareness. I think it's really important, and if we can be in our body for a moment, we'd be motivated to make these changes. Mm-hmm. And when I first started being in my body, it was amazing how tight everything was.
Yeah.
There was so much tension within my body that I had to let go and release. So for me today, I just want to feel fantastic within my form. Mm-hmm. I want my body. I want to give this. I see it as a gift. Even right now, I'm just gently touching my own hands. I want to give this to you. I want to allow my body to experience all of her joy. So that's a perspective that helps me. It's not about the look. It's not about the size. It's not even about how the clothes are on my body. It's that my body gets to experience this feeling of joy, which I think is the optimal health, optimal nutrition, optimal fitness being expressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we do feel the most incredible emotions in our body. And if we're cut off from them, then we're not experiencing that. And we're not experiencing the joy that we could be feeling. You know, you said something really important, which is, you know, that feeling of tightness, that's a huge communication.
Yep.
Our bodies have such intelligence, and they have great things to tell us if we tune in and listen to them. They will tell you when you're stressed. They'll tell you when you've eaten, you know, food that's too high fat. They'll tell you
yes.
when you have too much caffeine.
Or sugar.
Yes. And they'll tell you if you're in a relationship or you're even just having coffee with somebody that's not a good mix for you. Our bodies know those kinds of things. They can, they sense things. They sense, this person's a fine person, but we don't really have the same energy. Right?
Right.
All of those
Absolutely.
Types of things come from body language and from your own body telling you. But if we're living in our heads, then we just tend to ignore all of that incredible information. And it's really too bad. Another thing that you said earlier really reverberated with me as well, and that was because you said you felt strong in your body. And I think that is so important.
It is. I used to be able to. I used to be so not present in my body, you could have knocked me over with a feather.
Right.
Like, literally, I would trip all the time. I'd fall. I mean, I would just be standing there and I'd fall down, you know, like, whoops, sorry. It was kind of very comical. And now I am aware, even as I stand here right now, I feel my feet planted on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the strength and the interconnectedness from the tips of my toes, and I can feel it click, 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 all the way up my ankles. And if I just move my body, I can feel it come into perfect, absolute perfect alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I am centered. I am grounded. And I feel that from this place, and again, it's your body, whatever your body's perfect alignment is, but from this place, my energy can flow.
Right.
It's like I feel like I've become the cross. It's like the energy is coming from above, the energy is coming from below, and now I'm so centered that I can expand my energy out there into the world. So this is why I feel it is absolutely important and imperative to step into our bodies, because it feels like this was like the holistic balance of body, mind, spirit. I wasn't going to be able to be who I can fully be until I allowed my body to be who she can be too. Like,
right.
For me, we're really connected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're really connected.
And most people would think the opposite. They would think the larger you were, the more strength you might have, the more immovable you might be. But I know when I was losing weight, I felt stronger with every single pound that I lost. In fact, that's one of the things I was looking for, was to feel strong. I really identified that. And that was one of
my
goals. I didn't have a particular weight in mind. I just wanted to feel really strong. And I started to cultivate that in my life. And it translated, of course, not just into the 70 pounds that I lost. It really radiated out into my life. I behaved differently. I saw different results. It affected a lot of, I would say, my entire life. So there is a really, really strong connection with how you feel with your body and then how you're going to connect to the world.
One of the things that I had seen you mention, Pat, was how people always make excuses for not following through, for not having a fitness program or whatever it is. And how do you deal with all those excuses that we create for ourselves? So I don't have enough time.
Yes, that's the biggest one, of course. I don't have enough time. I have a little program that I put people through, and it's called Victor or Victim. And we really do a lot of training around being a victim. And so many of us do this. It's so easy to make an excuse. But every time you make an excuse, you really are being a victim to something. A victim to your own scheduling, a victim to time, a victim to other people's intrusions on your life, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about getting rid of the excuses in your life, getting rid of the denial, and getting rid of blame. You know, when you blame your kids because you can't exercise, or you blame your husband because he brought home ice cream, you're perpetually a victim of circumstances around you. And that's a really weak place to operate from. Once you get rid of that, any kind of victim behavior, things change drastically. You start to take responsibility. You start to own your time and your schedule. And you start to really be accountable. Excuses are a big one, but they're total victim mentality excuses. And as you probably well know, you can make excuses for anything for a very long time. It's the big brain bullying its way around, and it can convince you that, yeah, you have 1,000 reasons not to do this or that. And I've never worked with a client that couldn't make time for exercise. It's just,
I tell this to my clients all the time, because they go from, you know, they're like, I don't have an extra hour or 2 hours in my day. Mm-hmm. And I always say, there's no excuse, because I'm just asking you to start with 20 minutes.
Yes, some of my corporate VPs and high-level CEO-type clients, I ask for 12 minutes to start out with. Why not?